call to order the special board meeting. It's Thursday, November 9th, 2017, 5:30 p.m. Can we all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to clarify, this is a special board, a meeting of the Board of Education and Public for the purpose of conducting the school district's business. It is not to be considered a public community meeting. Item two, opening items. Roll call, please.
Okay, Mrs. Brenauer is absent. Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item three, discussion. So we're going to discuss the survey, and we are going to ask any questions that we want. I'm sure it'll be a lively discussion. So Triad Research, Kathy?
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Okay. So help us coalesce.
Well, Jeff, can you pull the what I sent you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I guess I have a question before we dive into this, because, you know, the survey, you know, originally we were talking about a survey, and when we last met, we were talking about the four options, and we all kind of had the feeling like four was too many, and it was getting too confusing, which is why we talked about having another meeting. But is it worth having some discussion about, especially given some more recent findings, about whether or not we still have four options that we would want to survey? I mean, we may be able to spin the list, and which might make the conversation more. Unless, I don't know, what were you planning on?
Well, I wasn't aware there were four options. I think four options is a lot to have in the survey. If you've got to narrow it down, I would. Surveys are just what they are. You've all done them. They're telephone surveys. They're not. They're different than focus groups or in-depth interviews that you might have, or even conversations when people call you and tell you their opinion. What the value of the survey is that you can ask a structured question. It's not a good place for people to sort answers or rank things from one to four. You can't do that over the phone. Your head just can't really wrap it all around, because you've got to remember, people aren't involved in this like you are. If you would call just a citizen, regular citizen, I don't know, maybe you've had a lot more conversation about it than out in the public, and maybe it's in the newspaper, so people are aware of it. I guess I shouldn't say that, but typically we find that people aren't, you know, they don't have to. Or what they think is important to find out from the community. when Joelle first contacted me, the information she gave me is that you're looking at a couple different things. You have an excellent opportunity to ask for no increase bond issue to build new schools, which doesn't happen very often. It's a rare thing when something would roll off and the timing works out and then you have the opportunity to do something like this and you have the need. One of the things I will say is that you have to have the need first. Just because the opportunity is there doesn't mean that's a good reason to do it, because the need has to be there as well. So that might be some of the things we talk about. Then we talked about whether or not it was building two new schools or maybe one new elementary school or maybe renovating the schools and renovating with or without air conditioning. Those are the topics that I'm aware of at this point in time. So that's what this addresses. Whether that's changed, we can work through that because, quite honestly, surveys go through many drafts. The first draft is never the final draft. So just a couple of warm-up questions are easy. We're going to ask them to rate the quality of education. We're going to ask them to give us their opinion of what they think the condition of the four elementary schools are, just because we want an idea of where that is. Most people will probably say they're in minor repairs, not that the major repairs will be replaced unless, again, maybe for our community or the community. Question number three that I asked was, because of the age and condition of the buildings, the district's been working on a facility to make you aware of that, just to kind of get them up to speed, I think.
So should we talk about two? Should we take these questions out, extrapolate them, and then see if this is a question that we want, or should we go through the whole thing and then circle back?
Well, let me put a stake in the ground, and then we can start arguing with ourselves. Because I think we should end with question four.
Well, likewise.
I think we're done. We might need...
We're going to ask that twice.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, that's trying to get into all these options. I mean, at the end, I'm going to ask, do they have school-age children living at home and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, to me, going through the options, I just think is a mistake. Would you support not increasing your annual amount of taxes that you pay so the district could either replace elementary schools or anything? Are you going to support this up? For me, that's all we need to know, because nobody...
At this point in time, that's exactly all we need to know. Because the rest is going to take a whole nother form.
We'll see, but that we have to sell whatever we end up with, but we still got to know, are we going to be able to get people to vote for it? I mean, that's... Again, we can ask them if they want two new buildings and, you know, 30 years down the road and all this kind of jazz and 35 years. But if people are going to vote for it, again, I mean, and we can argue this, but I firmly believe it. If they vote for it, they're going to vote for it, whether it's for 20 years or 35 years. Because nobody thinks, geez, that 15 years after 20, I'm going to need that money. I've done a lot of proof. I mean, people don't think that way. They're not going to vote that way. They're either going to believe that we need to do something with the building, so we need this question too. Obviously, what do you really think about the building? But then, are you going to support a bond that might raise your annual taxes? That's great, how do you want to do that? You know, to be able to make sure that we improve our elementary school.
Well, I agree with you on the high, because I wasn't even aware of the high school time. That was there until I was out of school, and then I knew that that high. I thought it was 20, not 25. So I don't think people care about the non-communicable length of it. So,
well, I have a different opinion. I think I think it does matter. I think asking. I think there's a difference between 15 years of $27 million and 35 years of $44 million. And I think people can connect those dots and understand that if I extend the bond for 15 years, you get $27 million, whatever the number, the exact number is $27 million. You're probably not going to come back and ask me for another bond in that 15 years. You're probably going to get through, the buildings will last 15 years before you ask me for money again. Maybe you do another extension. If you say 35 years for $44 million, I think a lot of people will be like, you're going to ask me for more money before 35 years because your buildings, the rest of your buildings aren't going to last 35 years. So I do think that a lot of people, it will make a difference. Yes, the mechanics are the same in that it's a bond extension, but the longer you go, the bigger the number, I think it does. I think for a lot of people, a lot of voters, it will.
I just don't think so.
My concern, just numerically, is, and by the way, Kathy, thank you for facilitating this meeting, because you're the focal point. There's some very good discussion here, so thanks. Don't get discouraged.
No, it's a good discussion. I'm happy to listen.
My look on it is, if we go the path of refurbishing buildings over a 15-year term, at the end of around somewhere in that time frame, we're not only going to have the elementaries that are now going to be 15 years older and only having been referred, we're going to have these two buildings getting long in the future at the same time. So instead of talking about what do we do next being $20 or $30 million, it's going to be $90 million. You know, when you talk about long-term planning, now you're almost for certain going to have them all coming together 15, 20 years from now.
And that may not be a bad thing, because we have projected continuing declining enrollment. So we may end up 15 years from now with a lot less students, and we may not need as many buildings.
Well, we're still going to have a
high school. Sure.
We're still going to have middle school.
Sure, but if you're...
And if you have four elementary now, and if you offline one later, what are you going to do? You're still going to have to drop another equivalent of today's dollars, $30 or $40 million, to replace it. So at some point, the bricks will hold up forever. I mean, the cinder blocks and bricks will last forever. But the rest of the buildings are getting pretty old. I guess what I'm saying is, the core of the discussion is, which path are we going to go down? Are we going to go down the path of refurbishing or building?
Well, I think so maybe to kind of reset us on why we're on the survey was, I was the one who was pushing for the survey because, to reground everybody, we got 1 year past this extension. So we got May, August, November, if we really needed to go out three times. Let's hope that's not the case. And my biggest concern was some of the data points from the survey in 2016, you know, are they're insightful. So 66% of the community believes that buildings are in good condition. And so now there have been things that have occurred since then, right? We've had articles published, the facility planning committee has been in the news, the state's assessment, right? And so how many people have gotten a sense that buildings aren't as good as they are? We don't quite know. But what we know is from last year, most people had a pretty good perception of the building. Perception didn't line up with the reality, but they still had a pretty good perception of the building, which means when you, and again, I'm kind of going back to my concerns, which is we go out for a bond in May, we have a really short runway to convince a lot of people. And you know, like, I'll throw North Royalton out as an example. If you didn't have a timeline, if you got to get the extension passed next year, this would be a much easier choice, because like North Royalton, they took, I don't know, six times at the ballot box in multiple years, but they didn't have a hard timeline that says you're going to lose this window of extending. So if we didn't have this window, or if the window was 3 years, then you could say, okay, we have a tight timeline, but we think we can get it done. You go for it. If it doesn't pass, you can go back. You can keep going back to it. And like in North Royalton, right, and other communities, right, they've been on the ballot multiple times. And eventually people, like, okay, they get it. And, you know, I shared also a couple of years ago when we were at the Capitol Conference, the one session I heard about, one district was talking about how they successfully passed an operating levy and a big bond issue to redo their schools. And, I mean, it stuck with me, because what they said was they had a very long campaign where they continually were showing, you know, the water leaking into buckets and the things crumbling and what. And what they did, they got to the point, because they had a number of attempts that failed, and then this time it succeeded. And the reason it succeeded was they hammered this home for so long that people were like, all right already, give me the bond so I can vote on it. Okay, and so I'm sharing all that because my biggest concern is that we go out big, right? We go out for new in May, and what happens if the voters say no you know, for a wide margin. Then what do we do? I mean, we only have 1 year, so we need to have a contingency
plan. Except that's not actually true. We have as many times as we need to. We have 1 year roughly to not change what people are paying. But you have as many years as it takes to get, you know, the bond out there. It's just, it might be harder to do, but we should not use a 1 year time frame for us to put up something that's suboptimal to what the school district needs. And so I don't want to use the timeline as a determinant of what we decide is the right thing to do. Because, yeah, it's true, it'll be harder. People's taxes go down. It'll be harder to ask them to go back up to where they were. But we can still make the argument, we're only asking you for what you used to pay. And again, I mean, to me, to aim low so that we can get over a time hurdle just isn't the way I would prioritize. I guess I'll just put it down.
So what would you see the board doing if we went on in May for a new building and if it got crushed at the ballot box? Just keep going back?
Depends. I don't know. I won't be the deciding factor in that, obviously, but we might if we still think it's the right idea and we just haven't sold it. It would depend on why we thought we lost. If we can't get it done, maybe we just pull it. And maybe we wait 2 years and we don't let the next board worry about, you know, putting a new bond on it. I mean, I just don't want to make a decision based on a timeline that is a one-year timeline, whereas the decision we make is 15 to 30 years.
See, the renovate option, and again, we all have different opinions, but the renovate option to me is not a bad option. It's still an economically viable option that offers a number of advantages, one of which is we right-size the building situation. You take two buildings offline, you're going to get significant operational savings from that. The improvements that you're going to put in the other buildings, it's not just the two buildings you would keep online, but all of the buildings would get what I would consider some significant investment of dollars. We're talking about secure vestibules, new fire alarms, we're talking about various technology upgrades. You know, in the elementaries, we're talking about convert the gyms into cafeterias and build new gyms. I mean, I don't view that as a Band-Aid. I view that as substantive improvements to extend the life of all of our buildings. And I don't view that as, oh, well, we shouldn't do that because we don't think it's right. I think if the community is at a place where they are not comfortable supporting new buildings, why wouldn't we then say, okay, well, we can renovate. We have a great opportunity now to renovate and buy us more time. And maybe in 15 years, maybe that's the time. 15 years from now, the board, whoever the board is, right, maybe that's the time to tee up another new building based on various circumstances. I mean, that's the thing with these extensions. You always get another time to extend when the thing comes due.
Where do the lines cross in terms of renovations and building new? Are you at a cost of 40% to build new or more?
See, and that's the issue. Even renovation, if we do it right, comes very close to at least one new building, because the only way you really save money is don't do air conditioning. And I can't see support.
We're not going to support that.
It's not appropriate to this day and age. It's just not conventional.
I don't know that anybody's going to come in without air conditioning.
Right.
Or renovating one to last another 15 without it. Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, when I look at our district.
Nobody built a home without air
conditioning. When I look at our district these days, you know, the performance has been, you know, the top X percent in the state. Some people will say, oh, been in the top X percent with these old buildings, what do you need new buildings for? You're never going to convince those people. They're no votes.
No.
They're no votes now and tomorrow and forever.
Yeah, it's not your meeting.
But when this community looks at who is it trying to attract to this community to live here, you know, I'm a sample size of one. I came from out of state. I knew, had no family here. I had no friends here. When I came here, I looked in the commutable distance to where I was going to work, and I interviewed five schools. Two of them, the interviews were really short because I wasn't going to take my kids there. When somebody moves into an area, they're only going to look at three schools if they really care about schools. And if you're not in the top three, you're not even in the city. And what are the things that matter? When we came in, Aurora had just dropped in the new elementary school. I tell you what, to a parent moving into this area, came to find out performance, but my first impression was pretty doggone favorable about that district when I had elementary school students coming in. This does not. Is our responsibility.
You know what? I agree. You asked him what I see happening, like what the timeline is. And, you know, I agree with you. You know, we'll reevaluate in May. What I see is this campaign being, you know, something about showing that there's an opportunity right here. We have a unique opportunity. And just after going to that, you know, coffee last night, and, you know, the forum last night, and starting to float this idea, I believe that the people see that we are falling behind, that we're falling behind in our facilities, and it's not matching up to where our high performing, that we are starting to fall behind other high performing districts. But I see us going from now until May, look at this opportunity, a whole out, you know, campaign, then in May, reevaluate, seeing what actually happened, and then deciding about these renovations, if we want to back down, but I really want to use this window of time to see if we can get better. And then reevaluate. So I believe that our community, and after talking to, you know, one senior there last night, I think we have support. I really, really do. I think the less we get into this survey, into specifics, not to be non-transparent, the better for us and the better for them. And any talking about any options should muddle really what I personally want to know in that window, which is, would you support this? And then that's it. That's all I want to know.
And if so, why? And if not, why?
That's exactly all I want to know. To Mike's point, the first four questions, we got it. And then reevaluate. I personally would do another survey after May.
Well, if we needed at that point.
Well, I think
although
that
the polls would be a pretty good survey, too.
I think that what would come back from a survey that would be useful would be pertinent regardless of which the building option might be. People who are going to be opposed to spending money are going to be opposed to spending money, and they'll tell you why. That's something we need to know.
Well, let me go back to what you said. When you say you just wind up and want to, if they would or wouldn't pass it, I guess I wouldn't stop there. You're really putting a lot on the voter to know. If I were going to do this survey and I were going to spend your money or spend money on this, what I would want to know is how they would vote, certainly. I would put a list. Why are you looking at this? I would test these reasons of why you have this committee or why the board is looking at this. What's wrong with the schools now? Because people don't know. It's exactly as you said. Every school district does this. The outside one looks great. The inside, up here, down there. You know, you're in the basement, up in the roof, if you're looking at wire. People don't see that because that's not...
Our outsides don't look so good either.
Well, maybe your outsides don't. All right, giving you the benefit of the doubt.
I know. No, they know.
But you
so
know,
your number two question goes along with what you are saying.
Right. And that's going to be the perception. But what I'm saying is, what are the advantages of building new or renovating? Whichever you do, there has to be some educational. It's more than aesthetics. I'm sure you're doing it for more than aesthetic reasons. You've mentioned, you've alluded to technology. You've alluded to some
security.
Yes, security. And those
air conditioning.
Air conditioning. Okay. Is enrollment decreasing now, or is it just that it's going to be better if you're?
No, I mean it has been.
So you can be more efficient if you're in fewer buildings. Because it sounds like you're taking buildings offline regardless of whether you build one or two buildings. You're going down to two?
No, well, not necessarily.
Well,
not
possible. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me jump back in because the,
yeah,
you know,
I don't know that you have to be, and let me just tell you a little bit about Westlake. Maybe you guys know more about Westlake than I do, but they just passed a no increase bond issue. And they didn't really know if they were going to do two buildings or one building for their elementaries. And they didn't know where it was going to be built. They didn't do their land swap with the city until afterwards. But they did it, and they did, they also passed it pretty much on the heels of a of operating lien. So they were very much in the same situation you are, but they did do a good job of just communicating that they know we want to, but they also talked about the need for the bill. And so, again, it's not just that you have the opportunity, it's why you need, and that's what it means, you know, before you're going to decide on anything. So, in this survey, I would put those reasons out there too. And then if you need another survey made to see which plan is better, or maybe it's just a dollar and a cent, you can crunch in the numbers, that's not the way to go. We can entertain that. But I would also use this instrument to help you pass the bond issue in May. What you're finding.
Again, I'm gonna kind of circle back, because I was the one pushing for a survey, but that was because I assumed that there were others on the board who were interested in finding out about renovation versus new. It's clear that the majority of the board doesn't want to entertain renovation. So in my mind, there's no reason for a survey. I mean, what are we going to use this survey? And what are we going to get out of this survey? Because originally I was promoting the survey to find out if people understood there's a renovate option and there's a new build option, can we find out kind of, is there going to be enough support for a new build to go forward with new build? If the majority of the board seems intent on going down the path of new build, then I would ask, why do we need a survey? What are we going to do?
So that we know exactly what people think about our existing buildings. What job do we have to accomplish between now and May? So that we don't even know what exactly we're going to be proposing, obviously, at this point yet. But, you know, what do we have to convince them that our buildings stink, or do they already know? I'm overdoing it. They're not pretty, but they don't stink. Do they have concerns maybe about, you know, multiple local schools versus centralized schooling? I mean, you know, concepts like that might help us formulate the final version of what we do. And I mean, and I'll say this out loud now, because I've said it, you've heard this before in another committee meeting, so it won't come as a shock, and I know it's not one we've actually discussed. There are other options that would include a new building. You know, and I think I said this out loud, we could use building for pre-KK, and we could build a building that's 1 through 5, and, you know, that building, to me, is more flexible, because depending on where our tenants goes, we'd have that as a new building that you could put other people, and maybe that becomes a middle school there. I have no idea, but there are other configurations. The thing is, though, what are people's main concerns? You know, do they really want a local school? What if they have to pay more for it? And I think somehow in the survey we'd have to go, if you want one next door, or, you know, you want to avoid your kid maybe being on a bus a little bit longer, is it really worth spending that money to do that? And I don't know what the feedback would be, but to me that's one of the issues that somebody might look at. All right, you're going to build a new building, but you're going to build it where Chippewa is, and I live, you know, way the heck the other way in Broadview Heights, I'm not going to vote for that. Those kind of questions to kind of understand, where do we need to move?
Well, could we, just after the conversation, could we use the survey to clarify that we have not made any decisions on what year we're going to be? I see the survey as a way to educate. It gets me thinking, what are they doing? What are they going at? So, personally, you asked why the survey. It's the way to start planting that seed and get them plugged in that something's going on. And that will start rippling out, you know, to the community. Hey, I just got a call. And that conversation will start. I care about, you know, whether they're going to support it or not, but I also see the survey as an opportunity to start people, you know, on the lookout for information. So that's why I say the survey, because it piques my interest. What are you going on? What's going on with this?
It's just, in my view, it's just a lot of money to spend. How is it going to affect your... But so the board has to decide before the end of the year what we're going to go to, what we're going to go on the ballot with. So, like, are we saying that we think this survey will influence what we finally decide we're going to go on the ballot with?
It could, and it will also tell us what we have to accomplish from the time we finalize it to the voting time in terms of moving public opinion. If we have to.
So we had two new build options. You know, the one that was recommended, which we still have to get into the financial piece, is now a stretch. But So are we thinking that the survey results will help us land on which option we want to put a stake in the ground in to go out to the voters with on a bond issue?
It could help. Like I said, the questions like interest in local schools, to me, measuring some of that stuff will say whether or not we need to have more than one elementary school.
So wait a minute. So you would like to see those kind of questions in this first survey that we did?
I would. Because if you're asking people their opinions about buildings, they formulate those opinions based on their particular priorities or interests. It'd be interesting to know what they are. And maybe it goes down a logic chain as if they say no, you know, then you ask them why no, and then maybe, you know, you're the person who does the survey. So, but, you know, to me, I do think it certainly influences what our ultimate, I think, plan would be if we get feedback from people that go, you know, no, I'm not going to support anything. Well, okay, then we're going to have to really figure out some minimum. Or, yeah, I think it's important to have a local school that I don't want my kid on a bus longer than 30 minutes.
So can I ask you, like, way number six is, can you look at number six? It says, do you think it would be better to build one or two new elementary for all preschool through fifth grade students, or doesn't it matter to you? Is that a sufficient question for you?
I think that would probably get it done. Yeah.
Because I think, well, I mean, the four of us, you still see no reason for a survey?
I don't. I mean, it's kind of interesting that we're here talking about this because I had to bring it up twice at our last meeting to get people to get traction on it, and it was all with the idea of, look, I kind of laid it all out. My concern was the risk factor. If we go big and the voters shoot it down, you know, obviously we all have different opinions. Mike feels like this is, you know, this is the right path, and even if we don't get any of the extension passed next year, we just keep, you know, going back. You know, I'm a different opinion. But anyway, yeah, so I didn't think.
Okay, so you still do not see.
With taking the renovation off the list, I mean, so if we survey and we got to decide that, okay, we surveyed, do we want to include some numbers like years and amount, or are we saying we want to just leave that completely vague?
Well, just hold on one second. So are you for a survey still moving forward with the idea of the survey? More answers on the objective of what the survey is. I just don't want to waste our time if there's a majority of people that don't even see the objective of the survey.
My thought is a survey can be helpful in crafting and structuring our message.
Okay. So we're going to go forward with the survey, bring it the way you can, right? And now you have to decide which one of these. Which questions we'd like to include, okay? And what we're going to focus on. So, like, to my question again, I mean, like, we need to start coalescing around some of these things. Six covered, which you need to know, correct?
Well, the survey becomes a lot more simplified because we've gotten rid of all the complexity, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, so, Kathy, I think you made some comments earlier, maybe refresh my memory. Going vague, like would you support a bond extension versus giving something like years or the total amount? Do you have any thoughts on that? Like, is that going to be valid results if you just say would you support a bond extension, or people during the survey going to get hammered with, well, for what? Well, how many? You know what I'm saying?
I think you're still going to have to. At some point, and I think this is where you ask this question at the end, I think you leave what we have at the beginning, just the simple question, which is if we're going to respond to you, just so people are aware of that. And then at the end, I think you have to tell them what they're going to see. And I don't know what it is you're renewing. It's probably around 44 million, I'm guessing, but what will that ballot issue actually look like? I mean, I would go ahead and ask them that question this time to make sure that once you've informed them, they understand that even though they're going to vote yes, it's going to be the campaign's job to say no increase in taxes, because that won't be in the bond issue. It'll have to go on, I believe, So it'll be up to the board and its campaign to inform them that it won't increase taxes. And I think we can ask a couple of reasons for voting against, too. I mean, we can say, you know, I won't vote for this, but I'm going to vote for my elementary school, or I'd rather vote no because I'd rather see my taxes go down. Some people who might feel that way, and what percent is that? You know, is it hopefully low, or, you know, is it substantial?
So I agree with the first four questions. I mean, I find relevant these first four. And then if you go to the fifth one, it seems redundant. Number five?
Yeah, I don't know that we would.
I mean, I have four. I have that information. Is there a benefit to keeping five? If there's something there, then we can integrate in four. But there's too many questions, though.
Keep six, but I'm asking, like, what about five?
And I'm sorry, but, you know, this, again, this survey question was asking if you want to build one or two new buildings. I mean, we have new financial information that I think we need to talk about, because our two new buildings, is that something that's still financially doable? I mean, don't
in some configuration it might be. I mean, because again, if they're smaller buildings because we utilize buildings, then it's going to drop that cost down. So, I mean, I don't know that it's doable. All I'm saying is, you know, all the numbers we have now are really set in one specific configuration, whereas, you know, we've got some bigger one that we really need. So it might be worth still asking one or two, but, you know, I don't know that I've added that much to the board.
About if we, you know, if our ceiling went down to 44.5 million, is there still good? You know, because right now, I mean, all we have is what was done, and what was done was with a higher ceiling, and now the ceiling's lower, so it's like, okay, can you still do two new buildings? And if it's Hilton and another building, I don't know how you frame that, because that's not a new building. Are you saying like re?
No.
It's a renovated and
the like two new buildings would be less. They would not be as big because we would use Hilton for the kids.
Oh, so you would off. You wouldn't off like Hilton.
No, I'm just saying that's one option. I don't know what
right.
to call. You know,
well,
I don't
renovate it. I mean, that's
right.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know that lowers our cost. It might not, but I think there's probably some ways we could figure out a way to build two new buildings. They just probably would not be pre-K to five, and you know.
Well, you could get under that ceiling by not bonding some of the renovations at the middle school and the high school and the athletic fields, and you redirect PI money that you wouldn't need then at the other buildings to cover those costs instead of bonding them. So that's another way of getting below that ceiling to do the two, if the two buildings was an option as well. So there's, even in those two scenarios, I'm saying if you could get below that ceiling.
I mean, my guess would be that if somebody said they would support two new buildings, I think they'd support one. That's ultimately what they have to vote for. So I don't know if it does add, and again, this is something I'm not a survey person, but I don't know whether five adds anything because it mentions two buildings.
I'm not sure what the difference is in that. But I guess my question is, do you want to find out if they would, one of the ways you could do it is just asking five and six to the average. One question could be, would you favor oppose building one new building that's centrally located? And then the second question, would you favor building two new buildings that are located two different locations?
In community.
Yeah, two different parts. Mm-hmm. Like that, and see if it's strong in favor of each of those. And that would be a more balanced way of doing it. If you wanted to find out if there's a slight preference for one over the other, or a strong preference for one versus two buildings.
I would think that'd be worth knowing.
Yeah, I think that's probably something that is good to ask at this time, because I think people will want to know what you're thinking. And I think it's important that they know where you might get some pushback is because you're going to close the four existing buildings.
Well, top three.
Or three, okay.
Well, we're going to close them,
well,
yeah.
Well, four,
well,
ideally.
Right. Okay.
Well, I'm sorry?
No, yeah, four, I mean...
Well, no,
ideally,
right.
It
we're going to close them.
It would be four offline.
Yeah.
You're going to build on existing sites.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to have
to.
We're not going to buy land.
Yeah. Okay.
When you talk about community schools, how community are they now? I mean, some people are not exactly walking distance from our elementary schools.
Right. Oh, you're right. I mean, it's
yep.
it's true.
There's very few of our students that walk.
That's pretty spread out.
Well, I that's a good point. It wasn't always that way, and the way it's diffused out, it's not really that way anymore. So it's, I don't know, it's misleading almost.
I mean, for elementary kids, do 5% of them walk?
They can't.
They can't.
I doubt it.
They can't.
There's no sidewalks on.
There's no sidewalks on.
No, chip walk, no.
And will they all be pre-K 5 buildings? So, I mean, if you're going to do 2 buildings, are they going to be?
That's what we're talking about, rehousing pre-K through 5 in some configuration, because those are the buildings.
But you're not doing like a pre-K 3 and a 4, 5?
No, if anything, I know out of the educational adequacy, they did not want to break up the preschool. So if it was 2 buildings, one would be pre-K 5, the other one would be K 5 to keep that preschool together.
Okay.
But that's if it goes to 2. I mean, certainly if it goes to 1, it's going to be pre-K 5. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, just because sometimes grade configuration factors into.
Yeah.
Kathy, when you structure these surveys, do you avoid or seek to put in like an introduction? Because unlike the people in the committees and that are attending the forums and certainly ourselves, you're catching a lot of people flat-footed. I mean, they really haven't thought about it. They don't know much. I mean, do you give them an introduction saying, you know, the board is going to do something? You know, that's not in question. And here, there's probably a list of several things that can make the size of the box the person is thinking in at least a little smaller.
Uh-huh.
Do you do that or avoid it when you structure surveys?
Well, no. What you see is really what we do on page 1. That's our introduction. And that's why questions like 3 and 4 are important, or 2 and 3. I mean, we're trying to inform them there that the board's going through this process. Sometimes we don't ask it as a question. We wouldn't have to. We can state it as a fact that the board has been doing this, blah, 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 you know, and then ask the question.
You know, because there's certain things that, if they're not absolutely certain, they're quite probable. The buildings are going to be on an existing piece of property that we own. We're not acquiring new land. There is no land in our 2 cities to acquire.
Uh-huh.
What about VA spot?
A VA spot, yeah, that's inexpensive, right?
McDonald's.
Would the city just give us that?
You know, the other thing for certain is we're structuring this so that net, your taxes aren't going up.
Right.
That's something we've coalesced around. You know, that's one of our limiting factors. We're not raising, we're effectively not raising your taxes. How we say that is, you know, you put that in an intro to...
No, not really. I mean, okay. We can, sure. Not, at this point, it's not in there. It really depends on what you want. I mean, we're asking question 4. We're telling them they have a 2.5-year bond issue that will expire. Saying the bond issue will not increase the amount of taxes you pay, would you be willing to support no increased bond issue? From there, if you feel it's important that we need to say, like in the follow-up questions, that what the one new building will be built on land the district already owns or something like that, that's fine. I mean, if you think that's important.
I'm just thinking about, do you take away the variables that maybe the respondent might be thinking about as they're responding?
No, because you can't give them so much information that it's overwhelming.
Okay.
You got to assume they're a blank slate. Your job is to inform them. So if one of the important questions is to find out they're going to build on land the district already owns, let's ask that as a reason in favor. Would you be more likely to vote for this if you know the buildings will build on land the district already owns? Would you be more likely to vote for it if you know that the buildings will have modern security? If you that the buildings have X millions of dollars now in repairs and improvements, those kinds of questions. So the way we should structure our surveys is we'll ask those questions beginning with just 4 that we can find, and then at the end we're basically going to ask a rebook. So what we're trying to find there is, do we move people? Do we put people? What do the numbers do? If we start at 50, do we get to 60? You know, and what did those 10% here that was important to them? Because that tells you what the message should be. So yeah, but that might be something. I always have to be careful about how much information you throw at people. So it's better to break it down. And I would test some of these things as reasons in favor, because then you know what you need to tell them, because if you give it to them all up front, you don't know what it is that resonated with.
Right.
Something did, but you don't know which ones of those two or three things rang the bell. So, yeah, but we can break those out and test those reasons, and then that'll give you more to work with when you're forming your campaign messages and deciding, you know, what needs to be out there. So, okay, but that's something that we should test.
So what about number 7? Is that something, I mean,
No.
I heard Mike say, and
I would not ask
way.
This question. I don't think we need it at this point either, given where you're at now. That's in there because we were looking at testing the two different options. But that one, so that's just too similar. Voters are not that...
Well, 4 seems to encompass, at least personally, what I want to know. Not the nitty-gritty of 7.
But 4, we have to take out the renovate option, right?
Yeah, we'll
reword either replace
that.
The elementary
right.
schools or renovate them. It's really replace with new, right?
Well, no. I mean, one of the options he did...
I mean, the thing is, we know we're going to be renovating the middle school and the high school. So renovations can still be a word in there. If we do use one of the buildings, we know we'll have to renovate it. I mean, I don't know if you necessarily want to take that out, but certainly, like I said, we want to find out if they're interested in new buildings. So
yeah, but the way this is worded, it says replace the elementary schools or renovate them. So they're talking renovate the elementaries, mm-hmm. not the middle school.
And or.
So some of the money's going to be used for work on the middle and high school building?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's in the current bond configurations.
Maybe.
So, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, like we said, right? I mean, if we...
Yeah.
So we're down to... What about 8? About Central? Do we want to even talk about that? I wouldn't talk about it.
I don't think it's...
We're not even there.
Plus, I mean, I'll be honest with you. Everybody knows Central's closing. I mean, anybody that thinks about this at all knows that if you're going to make any kind of move, that's got to be closed. Even if you went to high school there, even if you're...
It's so obvious.
Married to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think 8 does anything for it.
So what about 9? Are we, again, getting too into the muck?
Well, yeah, you're getting into options again. We don't.
Yeah.
We're not going to give them options.
Yeah.
10.
Well, 10.
Again,
this was...
No, I know, I know. I'm just making sure.
Yep.
Okay?
I'm with you. I'm okay with that.
So 10, no.
Well, just take out the last 2 lines of 10, and then now it's asking the question of what's your gut opinion of 1 versus 2, right?
I don't think we'll need that if we ask them which one they favor, because people will like both. There's a lot of people it won't matter to them. They'll favor 1 building or 2 building. It, you know, they don't have kids in the schools. Whatever, you know, it's whatever works.
So that takes out 12 as well. Okay, 13 seems pertinent. What does everybody think?
Except the question isn't right.
Well, it's not right, but
yes.
You know what I mean? It has the...
And should it be keeping 4 elementary schools open? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Making sure. But we can move that into it. Change that to a more likely, less... If you'd be more likely or less likely to vote for the bond issue.
I'm not sure. From a number standpoint, I'm not sure where the million came from, though.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it's not right.
That came from me. We when I'm talking to Chris, he said on average you'd save about $500,000 a year in operating costs for buildings. So it was just taking 2 buildings offline.
Okay.
So that's where that $1 million came from.
But if you took
4,
if you took 4 off and built 1 new one, then you'd have 3 offline.
So
it'd be 1.5 million.
Right. So now this number would not be correct. But we were still trying to do the option thing. So yeah, that number would not be correct. But he was using an average as a conservative amount of about $500,000. I'm sorry?
I'd stay conservative on it.
Yeah, about $500,000.
That's like a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, to save $1.5 million and not I'd rather go low, I guess, than go high. I mean, at this point, it's probably, it's hard to.
Except a million and a half is more significant to me than a million, and if you set, if you put that, that's how much you're saving.
And I think, and I will say this, the one time we looked at it, we thought it might be closer to 750, which I would not want to go to.
Correct, which is why he stated about, he said it was about a range of 5 to 7, and so we stayed with 5 for purposes of the survey to do, to be conservative. But if we, but if you took off, even if you offlined 4, don't forget, you're rebuilding 2, so you're going to have those operating costs, you're really negative 2 buildings. So if you leave it at a million, it's, that's kind of what we were thinking.
Well, unless you built one.
Unless you built one, then it could possibly be 3.
Then you net out 3 offline.
So you could say $1 to $1.5 million in operating costs. I mean, if you want to use both that range.
$1 or more million.
Yeah, or something along those lines. But that's kind of how we came up with that figure.
Yeah,
over,
yeah,
over
that
a million.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a good one.
And then I think that we should I think we should test some reasons why you want to do this. If that's what the board wants to do again to get into the messaging. I can give you some of the ideas of what we've asked other places. But
I'm sorry, did we decide that, are we done with this list then?
So we're on 14. So do we want 14?
Well, you'd have
I
to.
Think you need to ask the vote question there. Like, will this be a $44 million bond issue that you're, or about?
Well, it's going to be somewhere from the high 30s to the mid 40s, just depending on how all this shakes out as we're currently looking at it with new building.
High 30s.
But I mean, what are you?
The two options were 47.5 and 43.5.
Yeah, I know. And the 43.5, if you, again, if you utilize some of the existing buildings and don't build as big of a new building, you can shave some money. And so there's some ability to decrease that, but.
Are we? So, I mean, just help me understand, because we got to make a decision in the next month and a half about what we're going to go on the ballot for. Are we saying we're going to come up with some new option, right? Because let's say if there's an option to do 2 new buildings and leave one online and it's $39 million, like, when are we going to get that information?
As soon as we decide that we're committing to new buildings or whatever, and then we just go through it all, we sit down with Chris and we go, what, you know, what are the options in? I just propose that as I know it's one other option we could do. I don't think we've exhausted every single option, but to me, are they going to build new or not? Once we know if there's an interest in building new or that they would support it, then we got to come up with the best, in my opinion, configuration for that based on whatever else this survey tells us.
But see, you're still operating under the under your belief that a bond extension is a bond extension and the amount and the years are irrelevant, where I would say, I'm in the other camp that's like, it does matter. $39 million versus $47 million, you know, 30 years versus 35, you know, there are probably some other people like me out there who that does matter.
So there's a few, I know.
So, I guess that's a question is, are we going to, you know, in the survey, don't we want to hit what we probably want to go out, what we want to land on? I mean, why do we want to ask $44 million and then come back with a $39 million? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I thought that was the whole point, to get ourselves the options lined up so that we can hone in and then be very direct with our survey questions.
Well, I just want to remind you too that, you know, the Educational Adequacy Committee recommended that we did not do a pre-K K configuration simply because of kindergarten being with preschool versus kindergarten having access to first grade. We know from our data that many of our kindergartners are already functioning at a high kindergarten level, if not a first grade level. So to separate them in their own facility with not having access to first grade is probably not developmentally appropriate to separate a pre-K and K building, if you were talking strictly preschool, but I don't, you know, Hilton might be too big. And just remember that even if we used Hilton or any of the existing elementary schools, you're still going to have an air conditioning cost. We can't put out there that we're going to put most of our kids in new buildings, but our youngest we're going to keep in a non-air conditioned building. So you're still going to have significant renovations if that is. So you're talking new build plus whatever those renovations. So the cost of that might be even higher, even though the buildings would be
smaller.
Except
you'd have an easier time not having them come in because they're pre-K and K's on hot days.
I'm just saying, it's a...
They still have day requirements.
They have hour requirements, yeah.
Hour requirements, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. So...
I guess I'm still, so you're saying that between now and the end of this year, we're going to potentially come up with more options than the committee has already come up with?
No, there might be wrinkles that we have, because as we were told the other one, once we get a bond passed, if it's not enough money, they figure it out. I mean, that's basically why we hired, you know, TDA. So we would have to say, look, here's what we want to do. We want to build two new buildings, and we want the bill to be $40 million. How do we do it?
So why wouldn't we just go to our ceiling on our, which already puts us, you know, in line for the one option, and the other option would need to be scaled back to fit in that. I mean, why wouldn't we just go to that ceiling? It seems unlikely that we would end up lower than where our ceiling is if we're doing new.
Yeah, but the configure what we can go for will depend on what the configuration is, because our years of bonding are going to depend on what they will allow us to bond. It makes
a big difference.
But part of the, if some of the money goes to the middle school, that gets diluted. If some of the money goes to the high school, that gets diluted. If, you know, we are renovating other stuff, that doesn't give you the lifespan. So it gets, Mike, you can probably explain this a heck of a lot better than I can, but we're diluting our useful asset acquisition by any renovation dollars we do. Those would decrease the amount of bonding years you would have for totally brand new. So yeah, if we built just brand new building and we spent $44 million just on something brand new, we could probably do 35 years, right? I mean, because that's going to last 35 years.
That particular building will probably more than likely show up on your TDA report before the dilution occurs when you're looking at renovations. That TDA will be represented, if at best, at that useful life.
Yeah, and some of it's furniture, which furniture doesn't have that long life. So it's a blended thing, and so what our ceiling is also depends largely on where we think we're going, and so we're going to have to work closely, you know, with the design people to make sure that we.
I guess I'm still confused, because we already came out with two new options that had a little bit of money allocated out for renovation, so you know, on the existing building. So why would anything change?
Those were still estimates. Okay, and I think we thought we could go that far. Maybe we can go farther. Maybe we could do 50. I'm just kidding. But, I mean, those were assumed, you know, periods that we would go for. You still have to get specific when the time comes.
Just a reference question. In some recent data point in the recent past, just built somebody who built a new facility, what is the useful life of that asset?
A new facility will have a mixed useful life, but the bricks and mortar will generally be even further than 50 years.
So for the purpose of a bond and not exceeding the term of the bond, exceeding the life of the asset is north of 40?
Yeah, bricks and mortar of the asset.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to build a new school without new furniture, without new computers.
But any school you've seen built recently has had new furniture, has had
right.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, what does your experience tell you the net useful life of that asset
is? Yeah, definitely you're going to be able to get that 35 years is going to be the number that I would certainly keep your target on. The Ohio Revised Code will allow for a maximum 40 years repayment on a bond.
Okay.
I've yet to see one since that law had been passed that has gone 40 years.
Okay. And in some of the material we got, the calculations we're talking about, depending upon the term, you just used a 4, 4.25, 4.5 with a little element of conservatism in there. Understand, recently, what are some actuals for those terms that... It's not speculation. I mean,
definitely no. I was discussing this with Jeff earlier. This my answer to this. I have to definitely preface it with a caveat, because what the reality of the market in terms of interest rates and what we tried to put today together for a ballot initiative. They're dramatic differences.
Sure.
So for instance, Revere Schools, your neighbors just to the south, they did a bond issue in April. And if you can believe it or not, they're already looking to refinance it. And the refinancing is going to generate almost $10 million in cash flow savings. So I got real-time quotes for the length of that issue, which originally was north of 30 years. I think it was 33 or 34 years. So with that said, real-time quotes, it's AA1. We're going to be close to these levels if we're caught today. For the 30-35-year range, I think conservatively, real-time quote, 3.5%. 20-year range, conservatively, 3%. 10 to 15 year, conservatively, AA1, 2 and 4.
Okay. I was just looking for...
Understood.
Yeah.
Understood. I was hoping to be able to bring that up because it's it kind of goes back to the question about the window of opportunity as well, because these interest rates...
As the money's going up.
Monthly.
Yeah.
They change.
Yeah. So... That's another thing to consider.
Somebody's gear leader.
Would it be fair to ask then a $47 million bond issue for 35 years? Just, you know, about? Just to see. I mean, mm-hmm. I would go high rather than low. I mean, that's kind of your top end.
You know, we could ask that question. Just say, you know, if you knew that it was a, you know, 35-year bond, $47 million for new facilities, you know, could you support that? And again, make sure it's in there, and would not increase your annual current annual.
Can I ask you what the benefit is? Because somebody in finance does not, like myself, does not understand what you're asking me. Would the common person care and know what you're asking them? I don't.
Well,
I mean, I do now, but I don't.
Many would not.
Well, the question to a layperson might be, does it matter if this no increase amount lasts for 30 or 35 years?
See, that to me is more understandable.
Okay.
Somebody
no,
could
that's
digest
fine.
That without getting into finance speak.
No, that's,
but
yeah.
That's the dollar amount, the key parts of it, the dollar amount and the term or the number of years is going to be on the ballot. I mean, people vote on that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but right?
why not ask what's going to be on the ballot? Because for those people who do, then they're going to be like, well, you didn't give me that. And you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's what I'm saying. It's basic information. It's X millions of dollars. And every time one of these bond issues passes or fails, like North Royalton, the articles always contain those particulars. They went out for a $50 million bond for 35 years and it failed by 53% to 47%, whatever. So, I mean...
Do you feel that in North Royalton's case, for example, which of those two numbers got the no votes? The dollar spent or the term?
I think it was either.
Well,
it was new money.
Yeah, there was...
Theirs was a new money ask.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I mean, it's all. I don't think you can parse it out like that and say, did you vote against this because it was $50 million, or did you vote against it because it was 35 years? I mean, they've got a lot of them.
I'm trying to figure out if there may or may not be a trigger for the purpose of how do you speak to your populace in anticipation of that.
What do you have any experience with that, Kathy? Like when you do surveys for other districts, what do you find is the format of the question to, you know, introduce a dollar and a length?
If people are voting no, and you say, well, why are you voting against? It will be because $40 million is too much, not because 30 years is too long.
It'll be because you're
more.
Increasing my
and
taxes.
Increasing taxes.
I mean, that's,
most people will just
and
say,
last night, that's what they kept saying.
It's
I
a
asked,
tax increase.
Yeah. I asked them, what are you processing? What are you hearing? And that's what they care about, you know, is are you increasing or not? You can say it as a fact. No, but you can say it as a fact rather than asking it as a question, because I'm not sure you're really getting what you want, because the average person doesn't understand that. That's my point. So you can state it, so if you want to get the information out.
I mean, people will still ask.
Yeah, I mean, whether...
I mean, you can say no more than $47 million for a period of 30 years or 35 years.
Okay. I mean, that's a statement.
Yeah, and just ask them how, just to get their reaction, because again, it goes back to what you need to communicate and how hard you need to communicate. And it's up to you to communicate no increase in taxes, because that will not be on the ballot.
No, it's not a no increase in taxes, but that gets into the, to the language.
Well, yeah.
Because it is an increase in taxes.
Yes.
So that's why we have to be careful with our wording to make sure we're factually correct.
Yep.
But I think, Kathleen, to your earlier point, the thing is that, you know, you can put something out there with the numbers that are going to be on the ballot, you know, X number of million dollars for X years. Some people are going to understand, some people aren't. But that's how people vote. People vote, some people understand it, and some people don't. I mean, I would think that if we're going to go through this effort, you know, to do a survey, that we want to be in the neighborhood of what we're going to be on the ballot with, right? We don't want to be vague, because we want to find out that if we're going to be in the $45 million range for the 35 years, you put that out there, and if we get 75% said, no, I'm not going to support it, like, that's relevant. Like, we would then need to know. Like, I mean, if it's something overwhelming, it's like, oh, my gosh. Now, if it's like, okay, 55% would say they wouldn't support it. Well, it's like, well, okay, then you want to get into the reasons, right? Because then you get into your campaign, like, how are you going to flip 5% so this thing passes? But if you leave it vague, then people are going to be like, oh, yeah, okay, you're not going to increase my taxes, I'm going to get a new building. Sounds great. Oh, you didn't tell me it was $47 million for 35 years.
But we told you we're not increasing your rate of taxes, and I still think that'll be the prevalent thing. But I'm not saying we don't say anything about it. I'm not arguing that we don't.
But I don't know that we do it as an option. Like, would you be for this 30 years or 35?
Yeah, no, I know.
We should just aim for what our target is and say it that way.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, I mean, if we want to build some latitude in there, then, you know, up to $47 million, up to 35 years. You know, leave a little wiggle room so you're not saying exact, and then, you know, we have some wiggle room.
Yeah, we're not trying to obfuscate anything, but we are trying to figure out what information, what are we looking for coming back to us. I agree, you shouldn't try to, you know, cover anything up.
No.
I mean, if we knew specifics, like this is exactly what we want to go out for, then it makes sense to poll just with that. But if, you know, we want a little bit of flexibility because we're not exactly sure where we're going to land on some of this stuff, then leave it open-ended. I mean, leave some wiggle room in there.
Well, whether the numbers, if we're going to communicate it, whether the numbers 47 or 43, I don't think that's going to change one person's opinion in the least.
And that's not what you're really telling me.
If they're against 43, they're against 47. They're going to be against 43 just as strong.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something? Because you talk about semantics, and so we're not having to go back for a third draft, which we probably will. Anyway, but number four, is this a correct statement? Extending this bond issue would not increase the amount of taxes you currently pay. I mean, that's not.
No, that's not true.
Would not increase the rate of taxes or the amount of taxes you currently pay annually. It would not increase the amount of taxes you currently pay annually.
We have to settle on consistent language. And as I pointed out in my email, too, because John brought this up the other day, we also want to be careful and not say, make the claim that for every single person, your taxes will stay the same, because there is a little bit of variability in how property taxes work. And on average, people's taxes are going to be the same, but some may tick up just a tiny little bit, some may tick down just a little bit, but we just need to be careful.
It's based on their valuation.
Right.
I would not say anything remotely close that the amount of taxes that people pay is not going to go up.
How could it be phrased, given our sensitivity for trying to say the
certainly,
right thing?
Yeah. Certainly. The millage rate that we are going to assess for your property taxes will not increase.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't know what that means.
People won't know millage, though.
Yeah,
millage
they said
gets
that last
people
night.
Confused.
That's exactly what they said last night.
Yeah, well, that's why we talked. I mean, you know, the last survey, what was a no, what did you put in the last survey? It was like no increase bond. I mean, we're trying to get the gist of the message out.
It's a no.
And actually, you know what, this is just a survey. This isn't the campaign. The campaign has to be much more careful. This just needs to, we need to make sure that the voter understands the concept to get valid feedback.
That's the point.
My point wasn't on the survey, the language to use.
So that is okay to say it that way in four?
Well, no, I'm trying to think what, on the last survey, it was something, there was a term used, because we pulled this the last time, and it was like a no increase bond issue.
No increase in millage.
Yeah, we didn't use, I know, we didn't use millage in the survey, though. And again, this is a survey, so we're trying to have people understand.
Can you just say what millage is?
Millage is simply a tax rate.
Can we just say that in the question?
Why don't we say tax rate?
Well, the tax rate.
Mark, your point is valid. This is a survey. We're trying to be clear.
You're getting way in the weeds.
We'll worry about the legalities and the technicalities a little later. This is a survey. The point is, it's not going to increase. We're trying to keep it under the ceiling. That's the point.
Well, then it shouldn't say currently pay. It should say the way he said it, though. Because his is just as effective.
You can use the term taxes assessed. So then it comes back that it still comes back to the millage rate.
Same assessment rate.
By still keeping the term millage out of it.
I think taxes assessed, people will get that.
Yes.
That's better than currently pay.
Yeah, we use no increase, willing to support a no increase bond issue for building repairs and renovations. Why don't I just use the same thing? No increase bond issue. For the survey.
That's question four. I'm sorry. Now I'm kind of lost.
We were talking about question four, that one sentence where it says increase the amount of taxes you currently pay. So he was saying, say it that way.
Increase the amount of taxes you are assessed. You are currently assessed.
You pay taxes. You're not assessed taxes. I don't know. I have a problem with that.
Property taxes are assessed.
Yeah, I know, but that we pay them.
Understood. But again,
they come out of my pocket and yours.
But they're assessed. Okay. They're mandated. They're
simple as that.
Okay.
I think you keep the language in the survey nebulous and make the communication with the communities where you really refine the terms.
Right.
Okay. So what do you want to do in question four?
Taxes you are assessed. Is that
I would get rid of the second sentence. Just get rid of that, extending this bond issue, and say, would you be willing to support a no increase bond issue next year? Why even just get rid of that second sentence?
You have to explain it. I don't know. If somebody told me I was a no increase
bond issue,
there's no such thing.
Of taxes assessed. What's wrong with that? A no increase bond issue of taxes. Which you would be assessed.
Well, but you're saying the school district has a 2.5 mil bond issue that will expire soon. Would you be willing to support a no increase bond, maybe bond extension? Would you be willing to support?
Millage in the previous sentence.
Well, our community yesterday shared with us that if we said the word millage, that people would not understand. They didn't understand it.
Survey, we can't use millage.
Okay. They would not understand it.
Would not extending this bond issue would not increase the amount of taxes you are currently assessed.
They're
currently assessed, right?
Good enough.
That would work is if people understand that. Right. They understand.
And I don't think we need to say annually because that doesn't. Would you be willing to support a no increase bond issue next year so the district could replace? Are we
looking
at replace the elementary schools?
Yeah, one way or the other.
These two separate questions, are they the same? They're all one question?
What's that?
Number four, should it be broken down in two questions rather than
no,
one?
No, because you got to tie why we're extending it.
Because it seems to me like there's two questions there, number four, not one. I think there's the second part. The district is 2.5 mil bond issue that will expire. Okay.
I would say replace elementary schools with new.
Yeah, with new buildings.
But then do you want to get into
it? Yeah, I got to go.
You say building plural.
Replace the elementary schools. Yeah. Okay.
Hopefully we're closing in on this because I'm leaving in a few minutes. I got to go.
OK, Kathy, do you want to go over some of the, you were talking about setting up a reason question and like listing like the land.
Yeah, so other than, you know, being able to not increase your taxes, why are you doing this? We talked a little bit about some of the stuff we've changed, we've tested, and I'll just run through them for you guys, and you can tell me if they're germane or not germane and how important they are, but a lot of times we tell them that the buildings are old and need new and improved heating, cooling, and electrical systems. Anything more? And you got leaking, crumbling facilities?
Well, we could mention that some of them are, you know, like old Central now.
What's the average age? 1915 it was built.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've got over 100-year-old building in one case, and, geez, Highland's pretty darn old,
60 plus.
Yeah, I mean, you just say, you know, we're operating in buildings, one of which is more than 100 years old.
Okay.
You know, they're not currently, or they're not up to current educational standards. I don't know how else you would kind of say that. And I would absolutely have something about security.
Okay.
Because that's on everybody's mind.
Yeah, they said that yesterday.
I think it's relevant to ask here if, for example, knowing that these funds would be for facilities and not for operating expenses such as salaries, does that change your mind?
Yeah, sometimes that makes a difference.
I mean, that would be a factual statement we would make, or you're not going to
use it.
Like, yeah, no, you can't. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think you could just state that. That might help add some clarity. There may be some who don't. Because like, I just voted for a damn one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Okay. Safety, you said, is one of them. Technology, I think somebody mentioned. So it's improved electrical systems or...
You know, broadband and all that stuff. I mean,
do you think it's important to, as a question, to say, you know, are you aware that our current elementary schools do not have air conditioning? I mean, do people even know that?
They'll be like, well, I didn't have it in my day.
They might.
But I mean,
tough it out. That's what they say every time I agree.
You wouldn't build a building without it, but
Catholic school kids especially.
But it's not reasonable for it necessarily. Yeah. I mean, you know.
I personally wouldn't. I wouldn't go there and start throwing air conditioning around.
Anything about programming? Do you want to say anything about enrollment declining and this would be more efficient or what that? Program?
You know. Did you know what they said last night? The efficiency. Our buildings aren't efficient. Like, how do you say that? More eco-friendly.
Okay.
Well, they're not.
That came up yesterday.
Yeah, they're not energy efficient.
They're not energy efficient. Those things were coming up yesterday. The safety came up, the energy efficiency.
I'm sorry, I'm losing track. How are we using all of these points? Because I thought we were trying to find the reasons why people would be voting against or not supporting it.
Well, we're going to get to that.
These being used for? Just to get people educated about?
Well, I think you're going to find that a lot of people think your buildings are in good or are in good condition or only need minor repairs. We saw that just a couple years ago. So assuming that hasn't changed, what are you going to tell them? Why do you want to replace the buildings? And
so your survey people would use these as data points?
This is the way we've asked them in the past. Now I'd like to read you some reasons why the district is considering building one or two new elementary schools. This came from Westlake, by the way. Please tell me if you think each one is a very good reason, just a good reason, or not a very good reason to build new elementary schools. The first one is, all four of the current elementary school buildings need new roofs, windows, and doors, and more energy efficient heating and cooling systems. Is that a very good reason, just a good reason, or not a very good reason to vote for the bond issue? Or to replace the schools, however you want to say it. And in this case, we said the district could save hundreds of thousands of dollars in operating costs by reducing the number of elementary schools and having more efficient buildings. Is that a good reason to vote for?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
There you use trailer, that doesn't apply to you guys. It's easier to align programs, and the curriculum of students are in fewer buildings.
Yeah, well, and transitions. I mean, we hear that a lot from parents in our district that, you know, the kids make too many transitions. You know, you're going from K to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6, or so, you know, it's a new configuration would eliminate some of those transitions, might be another thing, because we hear that a lot.
All of the elementary schools need better electrical systems to keep up with the increased use of technology.
Yes.
In this case, we tested the school buildings and residential areas to be sold for development.
Yeah, at this point, I don't know that that's going to be relevant.
Yeah.
It's too early, probably.
Yeah, we're not ready.
The last one in this case was new buildings would have modern security systems and safety measures.
Yeah. The only thing is that one question about, you know, all the buildings need new roofs, new windows, new this, new that. We just need to verify. I mean, I know we've been doing maintenance on things, so I don't know that we've done some roof repairs. And so I don't want to be unfactual.
Okay.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, we need to tighten that up, but
it's a categorically true statement, but there might be an exception.
Well, we could, instead of saying, just say need major repairs.
Yeah.
Well, or you could, instead of saying all, can you just say buildings need new roofs?
Yeah.
You know, then you're not saying all.
And are expensive to operate, because somehow tie all that in if we can.
I mean, we can work the age in there. We worked with Highland on their bond issue that they got here. The current classrooms are small, outdated, and lack flexible space needed for learning.
Yeah, so that's important.
In this case, I think this might have been Highland, that they're not handicapped accessible.
Yeah.
We have that issue too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well,
okay.
Just don't say ADA, because a lot of people said yesterday they didn't
know
what
that
was.
Oh, yet.
Oh, thank you for that. No,
yeah.
I'll make sure I say that
it's
differently.
The
Fred and I did that today a couple of times. I kept saying acronyms. He's like, what does that mean?
And I don't want them checking out, and I want them to finish the survey.
Yeah, I don't want a long list. Just that, that's
so you prioritize these questions. Is that true? Will you put the most important ones at the top in case they hang up on you, or is it not? No.
Yeah, it's the list, and we rotate them through.
Okay.
No, there's too many to keep in mind. I mean, we'll see the percentages.
Do you ever ask at the end, is there any other information that you would need to know before making a decision? I mean, do you ever ask anything open-ended just to see what you might catch?
Sometimes. I mean, usually we'll...
That's a great idea.
Sometimes we'll... Well, in this case, we might ask... we do. Always. I mean, we almost always have an open end. And sometimes it's a different question. If they're undecided, you know, what is it you want to find out? Or if the against voters, you know, why are you voting against? And the four voters, why would you vote for?
You're voting against, is there anything that would change your mind?
Yeah.
I say no, and the answer is no.
Right. Yeah.
You want to be contacted by a board member?
Which one would you want to be contacted by?
Yeah, that's right. You want to drop by?
We don't usually ask that because we promise confidentiality and that involves something else. Some of the reasons against is... I think I mentioned some of these earlier. It's like, I'd rather vote against the bond issue so my taxes will go down. Might be something we want to find out. The elementary schools are fine the way they are now. I don't think that one applies. We'll probably test how you do. That's another one I thought might work. I don't know. I think I have one that's like, I thought, I won't support a bond issue if they're going to close the elementary schools. Yeah, my elementary school or those elementary schools. pushback on that.
Since we know we're going to be closing some no matter what we do, so yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter. We're going to do it anyway.
Is it irrelevant?
Well, it's not irrelevant. It might get us a no, but we know we're going forward, so.
Okay, so I like this open-ended idea where if you answer yes or you answer no, why did you answer no? Was there any way to change your mind? I think you said that was a good one.
You've seen him before.
Right.
It's not the best use of your resources to try and change against voters' minds, unless it's a huge number. But it's important to know what they want to find out.
That's right. And that's yesterday we tried that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, and a lot of times they just need more information, and then you can throw what kind of information do you need that would help you make up your mind.
Okay.
And a lot of times it's cost. In this case, that's an easy answer. But other times, you know, what have you done with your other money, or why haven't you been keeping up with the buildings? And the expectation that the schools are going to take care of the buildings, too. Anything else we're leaving out?
I think we're good.
Okay. All right, great. Well, I will, I was looking at the calendar today, and Thanksgiving is a week from Thursday.
Two weeks from today. Yeah.
So, it would be, I guess, because I was looking at next week, because we're not going to get it in the field tomorrow, because you guys need to see another draft, for sure, and that might need some tweaking, too, just for all the reasons we've talked about. Are we being factually correct, and are these really the numbers you want to test, et cetera? I want to make sure we go out with the right information or something.
Would you be, on Monday, would it be possibility for you to have it back? Because we're going to be together on Monday.
Yep.
And that way we could actually look at it together at OSBA, possibly.
We can look at it and send comments.
We could write, look at it and send comments.
There you
we
go.
Could FaceTime.
Okay.
I have a face for radio.
If we could get it in next week. I know you guys are under a time crunch because you've got to do some, get some resolutions.
Right.
And one of you do some readings.
No.
So
if you could shoot for Monday, that would be great.
Okay. And then maybe we could get it fielded, like get it started Wednesday or sometime and get it out before the Thanksgiving break.
Great.
Our next meeting's the 20th.
The 20th.
Mm-hmm. So if you sent it on Monday, and then you could, I don't know if this is reasonable, but you started it right, you know, after that, within a couple of days, then could we have the results back by the 20th? Is that an improbability?
What day of the week is the 20th?
Monday.
And no, that's not going to, I don't think we can do it by Monday, but we might. I'll check with the phone center.
It's late Monday.
Yeah.
7 o'clock. Get all day.
Yeah. Well, okay. Sometimes calling on weekends, people think that's the best time to call, but actually it's kind of one of the harder times to call.
Well, that'd be
You know what, if we can get it started Tuesday or Wednesday, when we get it started, it makes a big difference, so.
Okay.
But we can shoot for that. I'll
even if you had a, I mean, and I don't
and
know.
And we can get some marginals too, into some top lines.
I don't know your schedule, but we leave for OSBA Sunday. We're having a special meeting on Sunday. If there was any way that we could get a draft prior to Sunday, we could add it. It's on the agenda to have a discussion about that, which is your last
it
page.
It doesn't sound like you could do that by Sunday.
I'm going on vacation tomorrow, and so that's why I'm kind of tentative. I will try and get it to you by Sunday, because it doesn't really matter to me. And you're not the only ones. I'm doing some work for a while. Away, so it's not a big deal. I'm just trying to think about making sure I have access to a computer, which I probably will. Okay, but yeah.
Sunday or Monday, but Sunday would be ideal, like you said, but okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Thank you.
We can work on around that.
Can I have a motion to adjourn?
Wait, can I
just trying to get Mike out of here.
No, go ahead. I just want you, this is our draft for, and we've got to get this posted, so I just want you to run your eyes over it really quickly so we can post it in time for our meeting on Sunday. Is there anything else you wanted to add to this agenda for Sunday?
I think this is a hearty agenda.
It certainly is.
Yeah, because alone the board discussion is going to take under a little under an hour, so.
Well, I can tell you the two items that I added, which is item G and item H, will take less than 5 minutes. Promise. But anything else?
And I is not going to take long. It's basically, let's talk about it, and let's make sure new board members understand that they're going to be asked to agree on, to make sure that's the path we want.
And we have the room for 2 hours, not that we will, but...
And again, I will know tomorrow whether or not I will be joining you, but if not, I will still be available, at least by phone.
Okay.
You know, during that time period. So I'll attend the meeting, just maybe only in spirit.
Okay. No, we're going to FaceTime.
Thanks, Kathy. This is okay to, for Jean to post them tomorrow? Because we got to get it posted. Yeah. So it's okay to post it? Okay, perfect. Thank you.
All right. Can I go now?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So move it. Second.
All in favor, aye.
All in favor, aye. Thank you. Moving right along, like we always do.